Let us pray. Almighty Father, thank you for Christmas. Thank you for keeping a promise to send a Savior to mankind, who brought light into the darkness of this world. Keep us mindful that we are little lights to shine and reflect the love and salvation that is found in Jesus Christ. Minister to all of us this day by your almighty word. In his name, amen. Well, I wonder how many of you still hang stockings by the fireplace for Christmas. I ask this because if you were asking for a new car or expecting a new car for Christmases, you would not expect to find it in a stocking, would you? I know that whole idea is ridiculous, but stick with me here. Do you still wrap your gifts or place them in bags and stick them under a tree? If you had a child who was looking for a new bicycle, he could see the size of the boxes and the bags and would know that the bicycle was certainly not under the tree, couldn't he? Or to look at it another way, when you pour some milk from your gallon container at breakfast or lunch, you have to be careful, don't you? You need to stop pouring in time because an entire gallon of milk cannot be poured into a 10 to 12 ounce glass all at one time. The point is, a thing can hold only what fits inside. A finite thing is something that has a limit. It can be measured. But something that is infinite is without boundary, without limit. It's often been said, the finite is not capable of containing something bigger than it is. Leave alone containing something that is infinite, that doesn't have any boundaries or limit. Or so it was thought. God has chosen to be the exception. He is big enough to make himself small. For the true infinite, he who is without bounds can be where he pleases to be and do what he pleases to do. Actually, God had done something similar way before Christmas came about. If you've ever read Exodus 40, you might recall that he put his glory in the tabernacle of old, over the mercy seat, between the cherubim. That is something when you consider that he has also told us that his glory fills the heavens and the earth. This takes on an even greater significance at Christmas. The Apostle John tells us about, quote, the Word in our Gospel reading this Christmas. The Word, John says, was in the beginning with God. The Word, John says, was God, without whom nothing was made that was made, and through whom all things were made. In this Word was life, and life was the light of men. Then the first step was made providing a Savior for all of mankind. And we have that in one of the most important verses in the Holy Scriptures. For John tells us in verse 14 that the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. And we have seen His glory as the only Son of the Father. With this miraculous event, which we observe and remember this day, humanity was taken up into divinity. In Jesus, God did the unthinkable. He put the infinite in the grasp of finite minds. We could better grasp important revelations about God, said in such words as glory, grace, and truth. One could even say that God's glory, God's grace, and God's truth were all stuffed entirely into Jesus. So He could be looked at, grasped, and of course, most importantly, believed. Now you know what a heresy is, don't you? It's a teaching contrary to Christian teaching, the Holy Scriptures. It's a false teaching. And as long as there is an enemy such as Satan around, the Christian church is going to be afflicted with false teachings. It has been so since the beginning. It is no mistake that Satan is called the father of lies in the Holy Scriptures. But out of all these heresies, which do you think is the worst heresy? In my opinion here, the worst heresy has to be the false teaching that Jesus is not God incarnate. There are, even in our day, religious groups that want to be called Christian, but they claim that Jesus is less than God. They try and pacify us by saying, oh, Jesus, we believe in Jesus. Yeah. He's a great teacher. He's a great prophet. But they feel He is less than God. He is not God incarnate. But Jesus grew up, didn't He? Because God protected Him. And He started His earthly ministry. And here are some of the essential things He said that involve just who He is. He said to the unbelieving Jews, I tell you the truth, before Abraham was born, I am. Well, of course, I am refers to God the Father. This statement so angered the Jews, they tried to stone Him. He said to His disciple, Philip, anyone who has seen Me has seen the Father. And shortly after that, He had, believe Me when I say that I am in the Father and the Father is in Me. Jesus directly called the apostle Paul, formerly named Saul, into the ministry. You will recall that Saul was a great enemy of the cross, jailing and approving of Christians being put to death. After his conversion, what did Paul say about this Jesus? Quote, in Him the whole fullness of deity dwells bodily. Something dramatic, really dramatic change. Paul's mind, didn't it? The birth of Jesus Christ was carefully planned and timed. And he came into this world on a mission to save mankind. It can be said without a doubt that the birth of Jesus changed the course of this world. And any skeptics who wish to deny this have no excuse. For God has left all sorts of markers throughout the course of history so that there would be no mistaking who Jesus was. I have in my possession, and many of the people who have taken life with God have seen this publication, I have a beautiful publication by Rose Publishing that contains a section in it titled 100 Prophecies Fulfilled by Jesus. We see in our epistle reading this morning that it says, God spoke to our fathers by the prophets. Well, we have the proof to back it up. And Rose Publishing has all 100 prophecies from the Old Testament listed, and alongside them has published the New Testament fulfillment of each of those 100 prophecies. Isn't that something? Jesus' birth in Bethlehem, his being born of a virgin woman, his ancestry, his flight into Egypt, his bearing of the sin of others, his death on the cross, and his resurrection from the dead were all predicted hundreds of years ahead of time. What more proof should we need? Another treasure I have been blessed with is the book Isaiah 53 Explained. It was written by Dr. Mitch Glasser. Dr. Mitch Glasser is a former Orthodox Jew. That's the strictest of the branches of Judaism. According to his own testimony, his life was completely changed by one chapter in the Old Testament, Isaiah 53. And he tells in his book how he went to see one rabbi after another and asked them why he, as a Jew, had never heard Isaiah 53 read in their temple. And he did not receive any satisfactory answers. He wrote this book to his Jewish brothers and sisters, especially hoping to reach those who are not religious, so that they would know that the Jews have missed the coming of their Messiah, and that the Messiah is Jesus, or Yeshua, as Dr. Glasser sometimes calls him. There are, get this, at least 15 different prophecies in Isaiah 53 about the Messiah to come. 15 in one book, one Old Testament book, all of which have been fulfilled by Jesus of Nazareth. So Jesus grew up. He did many miracles and acts of compassion. He died on the cross to save us from our sins and rose again from the dead. Then when everything really seemed to be going great, he surprised his disciples by returning to heaven. But he instructed his followers to go forth under the guidance of the Holy Spirit and make disciples of all nations. Here again, the infinite God ignores the rules of finite men that the finite cannot contain the infinite. What does God do as He leads His church today? He comes and fills a finite and simple thing. A bit of water and a few words with His infinite saving power, and washes away sin and gives the Holy Spirit and gives life eternal. He calls on us to baptize. He does things through that baptism. He also calls on us to teach. We're talking about God's Word here, not our own opinions. The Word who was made flesh now makes Himself words again to communicate the truth about Himself. The Word that has been born of man by the Spirit makes us into new creations. To sum it up, finite water and finite words do contain and deliver forgiveness and an infinite remedy for our sins from an infinite God. And let us not, especially on this day, forget the Holy Supper, in which the finite, the lowly mere bread and wine, by God's powerful Word, are made to contain the body and blood of the infinite, to bring us forgiveness of sins, eternal life and salvation. Our little minds may stumble sometimes at that, but don't forget, the Lord said it. And He called those gifts in the Holy Supper, what did He call them? True food. That's what He called them. So let us resolve something this Christmas. To never forget the small packages or gifts that God has given us. These are truly the important gifts, who, despite their apparent size, are used by God to convey to us His infinite blessings. Let us never forget that by faith in this Jesus, we are born anew. We are made children of God. Not by the will of men, but by the Word of God. And may our lives echo the words Edward Mote wrote hundreds of years ago. They'll sound familiar to you. They come from hymn 575 in our Lutheran hymnal. Quote, "My hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. No merit of my own I claim, but wholly lean on Jesus' name. On Christ, the solid rock, I stand. All other ground is sinking sand." In His name, amen.